The views and opinions expressed by the hosts on Madison Talkers are those of the host. That's why we do it. Give us a call, 608-210-1667. Thanks for listening.
Gleam Care has fought for civil rights in Madison and the country for decades. The former head of the Madison Area Urban League, Gleam, is now fighting to establish preschools for kids through his One City project. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Gleam Care.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is Gleam Care, the host of this new show, which we're going to generically refer to at this moment as Perspectives Radio. We are going to try to bring people on this show going forward that have something to say about the issues that are going on locally across the state of Wisconsin and nationally, since some of those things also affect us right here. But today, I want to do a little something just to introduce people to the show. But also, I've got two guests here, and I thought about it as I was wondering, you know, who do I bring on this show this first time? My first intention was to bring on someone who all of us, or many of us, have talked about in the community, especially those of us who are focused on education. Miss Betsy DeVos, who I'm glad actually I didn't bring her on, or didn't attempt to yet, because she wasn't confirmed as Secretary of Education. And what I wanted to do was give people an opportunity to hear from her and others like her about what are they about really? What are they really going to support? What are they going to push? What are they going to fight to protect? And what are they going to do that's really innovative and out of the box to make sure that, you know, in her case, schools and our children, you know, move beyond where they are, and that both are very successful. But we want to ask that question of all leaders going forward, both those who are visible and those who aren't very visible. So today I have two young men here with me, because you guys know I'm into young people. So I said I have to kick this show off a little differently. I know a lot of celebrities in Madison. I know a lot of cool people around the world. But these are some of the coolest cats that I know. And I said, you know, if I'm going to start this out, I got to start it out right. So I was talking to a friend of mine. He ran for mayor here in Madison against our current mayor, Scott Resnick. And I asked Scott, as I was asking a lot of other people, about their opinions about what should I do, you know, on this show. Who should I bring on? And I kept telling everyone, I want to talk to folks on this show that maybe not everybody has heard from. But when we talk about issues, these people are the ones who are impacted by those issues. So often we talk to issue leaders, which is really important because they tend to have a grasp on, or at least an awareness of, what's going on in the world and how decisions that are being made are affecting people. But what about those people themselves who are being affected or are looking up at us and they'll take our seats one day? What are they thinking about right now? Because these are going to be the individuals that shape the future. So going forward, on my radio show, which I do intend to do very regularly, I want to bring on people on this show who people want to hear from, both locally, nationally, statewide, but also people that can inform the decisions of decision makers and shape our perspective. So not just offer a perspective, but shape one as well. So I want to introduce these young men. I have Scott. Scott, what's your last name again, man?
Debegain.
Say it again.
Debegain.
Are we getting that? Hold on 1 second. Well, let me move over to Sakani. Sakani.
What's going on?
Introduce yourself.
All right. Well, I'm Sakani Care, and I right now I'm an employee at One City Early Learning Center. For the time being, while I am currently taking a break from school, I'm trying to, you know, to get things into perspective, no pun intended. So, yeah, that's me. That's what I'm doing right now.
All right. Mm-hmm. Scott, let's see if we can't get you.
My name is Scott Quinnell, last name Debegain. Originally from West Africa, Cameroon. Right now I'm taking a break from school, but I currently work as a property manager over at Madison Development and work as a youth development specialist over at the Upper Park Neighborhood Center.
All right, well, we're going to get into a little bit more about who you guys are as we talk here. So you all, this show, as we're kicking this off, it feels great to be able to start this show off with one of my sons. He is a 21-year-old, soon-to-be 22-year-old, a sharp young man. I'm not just saying that because he's mine. I'm saying that because that's who he is. And then to kick it off also with Scott, his running partner, these guys, they've got me back in the gym working out. They got me kickstarted again. I went in there thinking I'm going to show these young bucks something and then realize they can lift more weight than me. They're more flexible than I am. And they actually, I say this on the show, but I won't, don't believe this, that they look better than me. So you guys, so here we are. We're sitting in Madison, Wisconsin, on the back end of a presidential election that a lot of people thought was either interesting, they were either excited about it, or they thought it was absolutely crazy. You know, how all this turned out. We had a person who's been a very successful businessman over many, many years, and he won the presidency, but doesn't have a lot of street cred, you know, hasn't done a lot on the ground, not with normal average people like, you know, all of us. Mm-hmm. So there's some hesitance and reticence about his leadership. And we also had Hillary Clinton, someone who was dyed-in-the-wool government person, you know, a public person for so many years. And she did have some serious street cred. But with an more average American, you know, President Trump was able to bring out people who normally wouldn't vote the same way that Barack Obama shocked the world as the first black president of the United States when he was able to do that also. And then also Hillary, to be honest, some people stayed at home. Some people had protest votes. You know, some people said they weren't excited. You know, in some places like Wisconsin, Hillary didn't really campaign much. You know, those kinds of things. So a lot of those things are happening. But what are you all thinking about this as you watch all of this play out? You've got a brand new president of the United States. You've been seeing the things on television. I don't know if y'all spend a lot of time talking about it. What are you? What's on your mind right now when you think about where our country's going and who's leading us?
Ooh, that's a very heavy question. To be completely honest with you, I'd say, you know, speaking for myself, I mean, you have no choice but to, you know, assume, and also in the mixture of that, know. That, you know, this country is heading for, it's heading for a turn. It's hard to determine whether it's, you know, going to be the wrong turn in the you know, the long run. But, you know, as far as, you know, media is concerned and just the social atmosphere of, you know, of our nation, you know, people are, you know, opinions are, you know, constantly being pushed left and right, you know. So it's easier. They already have, you know, a response and attitude that one could acquire about a series of events. But, you know, what I'm really thinking of right now is just that, you know, there are those of us who are more concerned about, you know, what's immediately happening in front of us. And when I say in front of us, I mean in our immediate communities. And I feel like, you know, that's, if I could say that, that's kind of the situation here in Madison. But I mean, most definitely being, you know, a 21-year-old, a young adult, all of us, I mean, it's our responsibility to be concerned and to be aware of what's going on the political level, because that ultimately, you know, determines what happens, you know, to us on the community level, you know, what's, you know, policies are being made, what laws are being passed. So, you know, it's always good to be involved. But when you think about the, you know, almost the conditions that you live in, whether that is the social atmosphere or, you know, the economic you know, condition of where you may be currently residing, those things are kind of, you know, off to the side, you know, and I feel like a lot of us kind of can just, you know, take these things that are happening on the political level, with, you know, the whole election. I mean, that thing, the whole thing just took up media over, you know, for nearly all of 2016. And so I could say that at that time, you know, I was looking for work. I found work. You know, I was grateful to be offered to work at One City Early Learning Center. But, you know, I was also, you know, kind of trying to tune these things out because, you know, I think I can speak for myself and, you know, my friend Scott. We, you know, we're at a moment now where we're realizing that, you know, we're sitting and sleeping on a lot of potential and within ourselves. And so are a lot of our friends. And we've constantly, you know, gotten together and we've talked about, man, you know, this route hasn't really been working for me, or, you know, I don't necessarily feel like I'm, you know, content with sitting here and being here and doing things that, you know, this, my community here has to offer for me, because I feel like I'm a lot greater than that. And it's okay to believe that. And so now, with where I am, and it's just, you know, trying to create something, really just trying to, you know, to trying to follow a path that, you know, I don't see that's already paid for me, and to kind of take more control into forging my own way. But doing so, with now this new identity and attitude that I have, that I've been working on myself to, you know, to not sleep on my potential, you know, and to utilize my skills and abilities so that, you know, I can create something, you know.
It's powerful. Scott, how's this world, man? President, new president, a lot going on in the world. You know, how are you seeing things for yourself, for the community? How's this shaping your perspective of the world?
Well, in regards to the election, when the election was going on, I've usually been a pretty open-minded person, so I'm willing to listen to both sides of the argument. So a lot of what I was getting from a lot of voters were, you know, of course they had their opposition in regards to the current president now, but a lot of people had their, you know, objections to Hillary as well, due to the fact that, you know, a lot of minorities had consistently been voting for the Democratic Party, and there had been nothing to show for it. The economic divide had been continuing to widen. The schools continuously, you know, the literacy rates in schools in regards to minorities kept falling. You know, a lot of the schools just kept getting worse. So there were so many things that minorities who had predominantly voted Democratic, you know, had felt like the Democratic Party had let them down. So many of them, like you, as Sakani mentioned, as you mentioned, there were many protest votes, and I've noticed it myself in regards to being just a black male in Madison, Wisconsin. When you really notice, you see, I came here from California when I was 14. When I first came here, a lot of the friends that I made when I graduated, I noticed about 70 to 80% of predominantly my black friends. Some of them went to MATC, some of them went to, you know, to UW Madison, but a large majority of them, they felt like they had no other option, because I mentioned to Sakani a while ago, just following everything that's going on in society. When I was young, I had a dream that I could be just the greatest leader and the greatest businessman in the world, you know, to ever live. And as I continued to grow up, everything that was shown to me, you know, that represented an image of me, was nothing of such greatness. And as a kid, as I grew up, it really devalued my self-esteem, and it really devalued my aspirations in regards to everything that I hope to accomplish. So this election is just is highlighting the fact that there's still so much to be done in this country in regards to minority and relations, and in regards to school and teaching, because in school now we have a big issue where financial literacy is one of the main things that it plagues everybody, especially young adults. We graduate, and we don't know how to really manage money. You know, we see something that we like, we go out and purchase it. We don't know how to really save. We don't know how to really invest. Yes, we can save, but saving has never really been enough for somebody to retire on. You know, so we need to teach people how to invest, how to do different things. And this just highlights the fact that there's still so much to be done. Right here in Madison and worldwide.
So you're talking about financial literacy. You're talking about sleeping on your potential. I know, and you know this, that there are a lot of people out here, and they're not all white folks. You know, people of color too. We have our views of what young men of color like yourselves think about the world. Some of us feel like, I wonder, are they paying attention? Some of us worry,
You know, are things falling apart for you? Do you guys actually see a way out? I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from this brief break, to get your perspective, not just on how things are, but how are you going to shape the world going forward? All right.
All right.
Thank you. Listen to Kaleem Care, your host on Perspectives.
MadisonTalkers.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talkers to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talkers is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalkers.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalkers.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalkers.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalkers.com. MadisonTalkers.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalkers.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalkers.com.
All right, this is Kaleem Care back again on Perspectives with my son, Sakani, and my other son, Scott, adopted son. I adopt all y'all, that's all.
Hey, true.
But we're here talking to you guys about with two young men who are coming up in this community in Madison, Wisconsin, and in this world about the future, about how current events politically, the election of a new president, I would say an embattled president right now with all that's going on. Others would say an accidental president, you know, just given how, you know, I don't think many people saw this coming. I question whether or not Donald Trump saw it coming. I was looking at his eyes when the things were rolling in and it was like, I won the bet. You know, he's like, I got the deal. You know, he got it. But now he's got to put together a team and he's struggling with that. But coming back to you two, you know, Scott, you talked about, you know, the needs that you all have, the focus that young people should have right now around financial literacy in the world. You know, let's talk a little bit, man, about what do you want to see happen for yourself? You know, where are you at right now? What are you trying to get done yourself that people who are out here listening could say, you know what, they can hear from you, get inspired by it, and figure out how can they help young men like you?
I'm just a little recap of kind of what introduced me to financial literacy. I came across the fact that, you know, my mom, a Cameroonian immigrant, came and my mom worked two jobs. When I was going to high school, I would watch my mom, you know, leave work, come right back, cook so I can just have something to eat, go to sleep for maybe an hour, 2 hours, head right back to work. And I thought, you know, she may be making some money, but what are some other ways that we can use the little amount of money that maybe she's able to save to help progress, you know, because life is all about evolution. You know, if you're not evolving, if you're not constantly progressing, you know, you're being left behind. So I came across this book. So I went out and I started looking for different aspects, you know, to better understand money. I came across a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, by I think Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah.
And it changed my perspective of how I saw money, because now when I go to purchase things, is that an asset or is that a liability? You know, how would that affect me in a long run? How would that help me get to my next destination? So that kind of that once I read that, I got introduced to a variety of different books. You know, I've actually read an autobiography about Donald Trump, you know, because he,
which one was that? People want to hear that. Do you remember the name?
I think it was the Art of Game or something like that.
Art of the Game?
The Art of the Deal or something. I think that was what it was. But, you know, just in order to greater understand the financial aspect, because there's so much and there's so much lack of financial knowledge in everywhere you look. You know, I've met kids who you ask them a simple question. If I gave you $5,000 right now, what would you do with it? You know, a lot of them have, you know, things that a lot of people would say. I would give a lot to my mom, you know, and I would do this, and I would save probably about, you know, maybe $1,000 or something out of it after I've spent everything else. But, you know, when we teach financial literacy, now you give kids an opportunity to use their own money to finance their own dreams. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing for me in learning financial literacy, because now I'm giving myself an opportunity through my financial knowledge to be able to save money that I can put into a business for myself. Mm-hmm. Because right now, it's for me, it's all about business creation. It's all about entrepreneurship, you know, because there is a lack of jobs, you know, and there's a large portion of minorities that are unemployed. So now, if you can have more job creation within the minority community, now you can have a large population of people that are now potentially getting employed. So there's a lot of different things that financial literacy can change, because I've seen so many people get a good job. You can get a good job, but yet you don't know how to manage money. I've seen people who make over $200,000 a year still be in debt just for the simple fact that they don't understand how to manage money. So financial knowledge is something that is not just vital for the youth, especially, but it's vital for adults as well, because it's something that teaches you so much.
So Sakani, that's powerful, man, about just your perspective on what it's going to take to move people forward. You know, financial literacy is an issue. I'd say it was an issue for me. I didn't really understand how to manage my own money until probably 6 or 7 years ago. I'm 45 years old. I was really good at managing organizations' money and program money. And it's like, as that budget, so I had to protect that budget. But then I was coming home. We were tired. Let's go out to eat, you know. And we're blowing money for a family of seven. We drop $100 real quick, you know, on a place to eat. Or, you know, let's go to a movie. Let's do everything we can to just entertain ourselves or take up that time where, instead of putting food in the crock pot, and I was just going out to buy it or taking us out to eat. Mm-hmm. Sagani knows this, and you know, you end up going through money. Mm-hmm. And you look back on it and you realize how much you can save. So that's powerful. Sakani, what about you, man? You know, how are we going to climb out of this, and what's your perspective on that, and what role you're going to play in all of this?
Ooh, all right. Well,
And you don't have to get it all right. Just
absolutely. Of course. I can't help but feel like I've been sitting and I've been thinking a lot lately. You know, we live in a time now where this, you know, you could argue that the youth, or some would say millennials, are definitely coming up on more knowledge in as far as being aware of, you know, kind of the social issues, kind of, you know, future entrepreneurs that may just change the makeup of our society as a whole, you know, America. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel like there's definitely a trap that, you know, being a young person, there's a lot for you to get involved with. And then, you know, through those things, you know, social media, kind of get distracted, or, you know, kind of pursue things that, you know, in your own right, you have the right to pursue, you know, whatever you're interested in, but also kind of ignoring, you know, what's truly your calling, you know. Mm-hmm. And I realize there's just small things that kind of you that happen in your life. Small, you get small glimmers of purpose through jobs, you know, activities, you know, sports, you know, leadership opportunities, that, you know, some part of you says, you know, I don't really, you know, I'm not really trying to climb that mountain right now, because maybe you may have somewhat of a, you know, stage fright, you know, mm-hmm. a fear of speaking out or taking the lead. And I'm saying this, I'm thinking as I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really am pulling this information from within myself, because that's what I've, you know, kind of like had to come to that realization that, you know, there are things that, you know, there's a path that we can make ourselves, for ourselves, And then there's kind of like this wave that you can follow that, you know, a lot of my peers are following right now. Even just, you know, as far as like identity is concerned, you know, ways that you carry yourself, ways you know, you think and act and what you believe in. There's so much out there. And if I can, you know, kind of tie that to what I was saying about, you know, politics and, you know, what was going on during the whole presidential race. I mean, I'm talking about just, you know, ways in which people tell you that you know, you should feel or what you should pursue. And I feel like, you know, as human beings, as social creatures, sometimes you can't help but want to go where the crowd is going, because that's ultimately the most comfortable place to be. And it's definitely more of a challenge to kind of
carve out your own path,
mm-hmm. sit down, you know, set up your post, you know, make something happen, and then, you know, have to market yourself to others, you know, on the outside.
So let me ask you, related to that, what's it like being young black men in Madison? This is a town, you know, we're closing in on 250,000 people, if we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. I expect we'll be there by the next census in 2020. A county of 500,000 people and a growing population of people of color. I mean, I've seen more people of color here in the last 7 years we've been back than I did in years before that. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that, about what's it like being here as young African-American men, and how can we shape an experience for you all here where you can be successful. That'll be relevant not just to places, not just Madison, but cities like us that are close to us. I think they need to hear that. So we'll be back.
All right.
MadisonTalkers.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talkers to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talkers is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalkers.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalkers.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalkers.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalkers.com. MadisonTalkers.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalkers.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalkers.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Kaleem Kerr again on Perspectives with my son Sakani. Yeah, I like that song too.
Dope.
Thank you. With my son Sakani Kerr and Scott, his partner in crime, talking about their perspectives on how things are going right now in the world and the community. We're going to jump right in and get to that question about what's it like to be an African-American young man, a black young man growing up in this community, and Scott, being from another country, you know, having your origins from another country, you know, and having the immigrant status of your parents, you know, your mom. I'm really interested in hearing about that from you as well from that perspective. But Sakani, what's it like, man? You came here from Maryland. You were born in Madison, started kindergarten here, left, had your formative years out in Maryland, a community that we had saw much more prosperity among African Americans. And then you come to Madison, Wisconsin, following your dad and his journey to be the president of the Urban League. Man, what has this been like for you here? What's it like for young men in this community?
Well, it was most definitely a lightning bolt full of culture shock. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, I remember, you know, my first time, you know, going attending West High School my junior year, And, you know, I mean, just the, I guess you could say visually, I mean, it was different, you know, the interior, the design of the school.
And be honest, don't just, this is, I'm sitting here, be honest.
Most, all right. You know, I'm about to eat this up right here. So I feel like first I'll just say that, you know, being African-American in Madison, Wisconsin, and in addition to that, coming from another community, which I'd say was the community that really kind of made me the person that I am, mm-hmm. In addition to, of course, my parents' guidance, there's a lot of opportunity to teach, you know, Madison, because, you know, I don't want to speak ill of Madison, but there is kind of like this, this pride, most definitely, that Madisonians have about, you know, the city, you know, being like just a, you know, wonderful place, a wonderful melting pot of, you know, diversity, which, you know, you can argue, yes, it's diverse, but there's definitely more potential for, you know, kind of showing a different kind of diversity, you know, as far as like, you know, ownership, and control of, you know, your image, your living conditions, you know, your education, lifestyle, you know, your finances and everything like that. But, you know, I always felt like, for me, you know, being in high school at the time, I'd say when I first moved here, it was really the first time that I, you know, I've done a lot of hanging out, you know, had a lot of, you know, getting out of the house with friends. Mm-hmm. And that's when I discovered that there was most definitely like a party, you know, culture here. I'll say, you know, alcohol and you know, drugs and yeah, all of that stuff. So, I mean, there was always an opportunity to get involved, you know, with that atmosphere. I mean, that was easy. You didn't have to, you know, go and ask. There was always somebody, oh, this is going on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, but basically, trying to regain my thoughts here.
Just what it's like to be here, black, young black man.
Yeah. Well, most definitely, I always felt like there wasn't really much here to speak for me. So when I said that there's definitely a, you know, an opportunity to teach, what I mean by that is that, you know, you're kind of responsible for, you know, creating your community. I never really lived in a place where, you know, your community was still under maintenance and you were still trying to, you know,
trying to create it.
Yeah, trying to build, you know, things left and right. Yeah, relationships, even passion, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, it's easy to really fall asleep, and it's easy to you know, go the route of, you know, as Scott said, you know, graduating high school and you know, kind of going to a tech college just to figure things out. Mm-hmm. Key phrase, figure things out. And then, you know, kind of run into some other issues, you know, finances, and then just like resort to working for some time. And, you know.
So do you feel that when you came here, do you feel that you gave up something when you came here?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And what is that? You know, what was it? Mm-hmm. What did you give up coming here that wasn't here when you got here?
Oh, most definitely.
That you had there?
Well, I had, you know, the last thing I did when I was in Maryland was I performed in a Shakespeare play before my sophomore year of high school. So like I kind of had this whole, oh man, I'm gonna get into the acting atmosphere, performing on stage. I'm gonna be in D.C. You know, I'm auditioning for plays left and right. So when I came here, you know, I learned about the other, you know, performing arts opportunities that were here. But you know, I immediately kind of getting a glimpse of what Madison was, being completely, you know, growing completely outside of something, out of the culture that is here, you know, I didn't feel
mostly white.
Yeah, mostly white. You know, so like, you know, mostly white oriented or developed genres, and you know, just I can't, it's really hard to put it in words, but there's just a difference as far as, you know, the spirit of kind of how things are run, you know, mm-hmm. here, and versus, you know, where I came from immediately. So, you know, definitely having to kind of just find my crowd, having to find first my HQ, my headquarters, which was, you know, my friends when I got mm-hmm. here. Shout out to, you know, Jelani Andrews, Alexander Appleton, Nick Peeler. I ain't got to shout you out, Scott, to my
life. Mike Greer.
Oh, yeah, Michael Greer. What's up? But, yeah, you know, you really had to find your people first. And then, you know, they were really responsible for kind of, you know, showing me how things were. Oh, yeah, and Ibrahim Hanif, I couldn't forget about you, and Savance. But, you know, they were responsible for really, you know, kind of showing me the ropes and, you know, what was Madison, you know, kind of like the transportation system as well. You know, so I, you know, I owe a lot of credit to, you know, to those guys. But really, you know, I didn't really get involved with the atmosphere at, you know, school, the schooling atmosphere. You know, I really just felt like, you know, that was really reserved for the white kids. You know, I didn't care too much for, you know, what was going on in the city. I mean, you know, if you know Madison, you know that there's always something that's, you know, being protested, you know, mm-hmm. which is positive. But, you know, I couldn't really feel the same way, you know, because here I am, you know, and all I'm thinking about, the issues that I'm seeing is I'm saying, you know, oh, wow, why are all the black kids sitting on one half of the cafeteria or, you know, in the basketball, you know, in the gym playing basketball? Even the girls would be in the gym just sitting there, you know, socializing and watching, you know, the guys play basketball or playing basketball themselves. And that's where most of the, you know, the black school staff would be, you know, our principal was, you know. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of like providing that, you know, facilitating that atmosphere.
You saw the segregation.
Oh, saw the segregation immediately. And, you know, I just was kind of like, you know, where am I going to go? You know, because I don't really know too many of the black kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was easier for me not to really have to make that approach in that advance to try and get to know that atmosphere more because, you know, having the friends that I did when I got there immediately.
So, Scott, what about you, man? You came here from Cali. You came to Madison at some point, but you've experienced this here. You've been to school here. What was it like for you, man? What's it like to be a young black man in Madison?
So, you know, I've been blessed enough to have a variety of different experiences and have been able to look into the world from the outside in, you know. When I first moved to America, I moved to California when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And it was a tough transition for me. You know, just as a black male, I dealt with growing up. I dealt with a lot of depression due to the fact that I couldn't find my space that I fit in. Mm-hmm. You know, as many of you know now, there's a connection that's building within the African American community and Africans. Mm-hmm. You know, because there was for a long time there had been a disconnect between Africans and African Americans mm-hmm. here in America. So when I first came to America being an African, you know, it was tough for me to fit into the African American group because there wasn't that connection there previously, you know. So it took a while for me to kind of find my balance. So once I started finding my balance a little bit, I was shipped off and, you know, ended up here in Madison. And California and Madison, there's a difference, you know, and it's right there in your face. And the thing with Madison is, you know, Madison is actually, before I moved to Madison, I had been reading a lot of these best places to live, you know, ratings. They I think they were ranked in some magazines that were ranked the best places to live in America. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some Madison cities will be, you know, top 10. And I would look, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be a great place, you know, this, and Madison is a great place in a certain regards. But, you know, when a race and equity report came out and stated that Madison was the worst place for black youth to be successful in America, you know, it wasn't as shocking to me because you notice it and it's very obvious. When you go around most of the stores, you see predominantly the difference in race and who owns most of the stores and things like that. So there's a lot of different things that are, you know, are really different about Madison in regards to, you know, being a black male, because you want to kind of see more people like you that can inspire you to want to, you know, reach for the stars. So when I first came to Madison, I met some, luckily I was able to meet some great teachers at Verona, Miss Stenset. You know, I was kind of losing my balance a little bit, and her and Miss Sarah Elms stuck up for me and, you know, helped me graduate high school and helped me, you know, find my balance in this city, because it was tough finding that balance. And I've been blessed to meet some very wonderful people who have really helped change my life. But there is, you know, when I look around, there is still so many of people who look just like myself that are still really struggling outside of, you know, in Madison. You know, I look at, like I mentioned earlier, I've looked at a lot of friends of mine, and, you know, a lot of them have been really struggling. You know?
Why is that? Why are so many young black youth, boys and young men and women, why are they struggling here?
You see, you know, when you look in the communities, You know, there's just a limit. It starts with the media. There's very limited images of black men and women doing something other than being an athlete, a rapper, or a musician, or some sort of actor in some performance. You know, but so it's very limited that you see that. You know, usually I've always thought I could be a great entrepreneur, but when I looked, you know, predominantly you see that. You don't see many people who are entrepreneurs that look like you that are being advertised out there. And in a certain way, that kills your motivation. Then when you look out into your communities and you see the stuff that is available to you, it really kind of plummets your motivation to want to accomplish anything, you know. And really with all the stuff that goes on, in the communities, you know, sometimes a lot of children have, you know, parents working two jobs and parents aren't able to constantly be around them to really help them out. So when you lack this motivation and you have a parent who's, you know, doing the best that they can to kind of, you know, make things happen for you, and you're just kind of left by yourself and you're seeing, you know, your friends and everybody else just kind of doing whatever because, you know, their dreams have been kind of, you know, have plummeted as well due to the fact that they've not been able to see many people like them in careers that they hope to be in when they were younger. So it's just it's easy to fall into that mix and just fall into that atmosphere. And when you fall into that atmosphere, it eats you, you know, and it's really hard to come out of that. It really eats you. And there are times where for me, it took me about there was a 7-month period where nobody saw me. You know, besides family, there was a 7-month period because I had to reflect on myself and figure out who I really was as a person. And it takes a lot, you know, to be able to withdraw yourself from that and really start to analyze yourself, because self-reflection is something that a lot of us don't do. But self-reflection is something that's really important in the growth of a person.
So that's some people, we don't even think about that necessarily. We underestimate that. So Connie, when we come back, I want you to jump in and take that. And I'm going to offer my perspective on that, too. What it's like to be black and male, because I'm someone who grew up here. Come and gone a couple of times. And each time it's been around pivotal changes in my own life. So I have a different perspective of each visit that I've had to Madison since growing up here. Let's mix that up when we get back. Right. This is Kaleem Kerr on Perspectives. I'm here with Sakani and Scott.
What's up?
And we are chopping it up. Be back.
Sad, I'm faded away. I'm walking and talking with my man, Lord. Sad.
MadisonTalkers.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talkers to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talkers is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalkers.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalkers.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalkers.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalkers.com. MadisonTalkers.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalkers.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalkers.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Kaleem Kerr with on Perspectives, new radio show that I'm hosting here with Sakani.
What's
and
up?
Scott, two young, strong African-American men in Madison coming of age here. They have an agenda that they're working to fulfill, but we're talking about what it's like to be African-American and male in this community. And Scott just gave us his perspective. Sakani, why don't you jump in? And but around that issue of the condition of our young people here. Mm-hmm. You know, Scott, you described it as not really, you know, seeing a lot of reflection of yourself and what you can become here, and how it makes it hard for young people here to strive to want to be greater than what they are, or strive to move towards that goal, because they don't have role models that they see. Sakani, what's it like for you? You came from a community where African Americans own a majority of businesses. The only place in the country, Prince George's County, Maryland, at least it was when we were still there, that had majority black population. We owned a majority of businesses. And it's the greatest wealth of African Americans in the country, too. It's the only place where the wealth of blacks exceeds that of whites in this country.
Yeah.
And we saw that. So for you, you know, you came here. I remember you and your brother telling your mom and I one day when you came home, and I think Jelani was with you, and you guys talked about Jelani having his formative years, his dad from here, but having his formative years in Atlanta, mm-hmm. talked about the low aspirations of black students here. They were like, you guys were shocked by that. Mm-hmm. I remember one of you said, everybody wants to be a rapper, a dancer, or a spoken word artist. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it like, man? I mean, tell me about that. You know, not having a lot of black role models here. Mm-hmm. You know, is that an issue?
Most definitely, because there's already kind of a silencing factor living in a place where, you know, you're not seeing yourself, you know, occupying seats in like businesses, and you know, you're not seeing a lot of black owned businesses or schools, you know, heavily populated black schools with black staff or black, you know, leadership figures. And what I mean by the silencing factor is it kind of makes you, you know, less, you know, explorative as far as, you know, trying to see what's out there, the opportunities that are out there.
What
so
you can become.
What you can become. So what I'd say is for our dancers and our spoken word artists and our musicians is, I mean, that's kind of just what happens when, you know, you feel like there's just so much pressure on the academic atmosphere, but there really isn't that much attention being paid to your academic, in your academic space. You know, there's not much quality attention, quality education resources, you know, available to you in your community. So what you do is you kind of, you know, you look to other measures inside of yourself, you know, and see, you know, well, I'm good at this and well, I'm good at that. So, you know, I'm gonna drive off of that fuel for as long as I can, and to see whatever, you know, what other opportunities come by.
So you're saying that not having the educational support, mm-hmm. and the push, that right. high expectation, mm-hmm. is pushing young people
right.
to take on alternative taking on roles that they just settle into because they're mm-hmm. good at it.
Exactly. And, you know, I experienced that as well. You kind of say I'm kind of still, you know, I got the whole idea of, well, maybe I could do music or maybe I could do this on the side, because, you know, ultimately I'm, you know, it just comes with the, you know, my own personal battle with, you know, school and what that plan may
so
be.
So even Kaleem and Lisa's son, would okay. you all, my sons have talked to us and our daughter too about the pressure they experienced that I wasn't used to, but I've had to pay mm-hmm. attention to having parents who are really well known. Mm-hmm. And when you go around, people can see the resemblance or they know them because they're good young people, but trying to find and carve out a space for themselves in that. Mm-hmm. But even you, mm-hmm. Coming from an environment where you saw a lot more, got mm-hmm. were affected by mm-hmm. the absence of a really strong, viably successful black community here, and particularly a business community.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you know, I most definitely, you know, turned into very nostalgic individual who was always looking out rather than kind of looking in
and looking
and
seeing, back
and looking back. Yeah, mm-hmm. and, you know, versus kind of seeing what immediate opportunities were here. And it was actually Scott who convinced me that, you know, hey, there's opportunity to be had here. You know, I got all these ideas. He was coming at me and Jabari, you know, with all these different, you know.
Jabari's my other son.
Mm-hmm. Alternatives for what we could do, what we could accomplish, what we could launch, you know, which is, you know, why we're here today. You know, thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
Oh, man, that's a fun
But I want to speak on the responsibility of, to, you know, being a young black man, you know, being one myself. And kind of arriving at the point that I have, you know, consciously with, you know, where things need to go. I think that we need to start recognizing that, you know, the only way that you're going to solve these issues is if you take the power or you take the responsibility or perceived responsibility out of the hands of people that really do not know what that reality is like. And you have to, you know, put it in your own hands and understand that, you know, these women next to me are my sisters, they're my mothers, they're the female, they're the female population, of my people, so, ultimately, I'm going to have to, at this age now where, society is telling me that I'm an adult and I have all these new responsibilities, you just have to, I can now produce a child, so, now that I'm at this point, I've arrived at this point as a human being, instead of following the trend of, just being this, individual who is, being black specifically, being an athlete and or just being a musician and kind of just, in some cases, not necessarily exercising that in, the best kind of way, putting out the best kind of content. Now, at this point, you have to really come at that mark where you're like, okay, I'm a man now. I see what the issues are in my city. I see what, the problems are. I do not like what I see. So, what can I do to fix it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to actually take the only responsibility of realizing that, you now have to breathe life into your peers versus just kind of making your way by and then coming back to say, oh, this is what I did, but I'll see you all later again. I'm going to go back to where where I've arrived, at my victory point. So,
So you guys have something that you're going to try to do. Give us just a very quick, you got 1 minute, give us a quick explanation of what are you focused on right now?
So
people know how they can help you.
Right now we're focused on launching our business that we will be, as Sakani, Jabari and I, mm-hmm. Jabari being your other son, mm-hmm. We're launching a business called Gold Mines. And mm-hmm. Gold Mines, really what Gold Mines is about, we're going to go out there and try to teach our peers financial literacy and teach them a variety of different ways that they can use mm-hmm. financial knowledge to be successful. Because like he said, mm-hmm. you don't want to reach your victory point and then try to come back and get everybody else. You want everybody to reach that victory point together. Because we are a community, as he mentioned, I was on his case and Jabari's case all the time, mm-hmm. because we like they became family to me, mm-hmm. and you can't leave family behind. So I consider the whole community, mm-hmm. everyone I come in contact with, that's family. You want to carry family to where you're going, and if that's the stars, then you bring your family to the stars with you.
So that's a powerful thing, and I know when we come back, we're going to close this thing out, but we're actually going to close it out right now. But I wanted to thank Scott and Sakani for being here today. Please, you guys, they have a program that they're starting, a business called Gold Mine. You can contact me at kaleem.care@gmail.com. It's kaleem.care@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with these young men, we'd love to hear from you. But you all, one thing before I leave, know that our young people are watching us. We have to be the role models that they need us to be, and we need to create more role models. So those of you listening to this show who are thinking about why jobs are so important, why education is so important, if we hold back jobs and education from people and therefore prevent them from being the role models that our children need, we should not get upset when our children demonstrate the very challenges that they're showing us right now about why they don't know where they're going and what direction they're heading in. We need to provide their parents with jobs. We need to provide them and their parents with education so that they can have the role models they need to strive towards and also become those role models later in the future. Thank you for tuning in to this show. We're going to have some other very interesting people on this show going forward. This is Kaleem Care with Perspectives, and I want to thank my brother Mitch Hank for getting this Madison Talkers thing started and inviting me to be a part of it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having
Appreciate
us.
It. Yep.
So now I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please. But somehow he winds up knocking me back down. We'll be right back.
think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gonna come. I said I know.